Welcome back.
Thank you.
Dr. Kerry Duckett
so
is back.
Good to see you, Dr. Kerry.
Good to see you guys, too.
Grace Bible Church in New Franklin or Akron, whichever you prefer. Yeah, you have been so busy in the last few months, and we missed you, and we're glad to have you back. Very important topic today as we dive into the Bible.
Yeah. Today, we've been doing a series at Grace on how to get through the tough stuff. And really, it's about what are we supposed to do when we enter into the valleys of life? And everybody goes through valleys.
Yep.
And when we enter into a valley, many times it's a shock. We didn't see it coming. We didn't schedule it. We didn't plan for it. Something takes the wind out of us. We find ourselves going through something that we didn't expect to go through. And after we get over our shock, we move into grief, into sadness. And, you know, life is all about change. It's always changing. And sometimes when it changes, it's for the good, and we like it. We look at it and we say, oh, boy, I'm glad that changed. That's wonderful. But when we enter a valley, the change usually creates a loss, and it creates a sadness. And it's not something that that we wanted to happen, but it happened. And now we've got to deal with the loss that's been created by that change. And that creates grief in our life. And grief is a godly emotion.
Okay.
You know, because we're going to talk a lot about grief this morning, but grief comes from God. Now, when we get shocked, God's never shocked. So our shock is not a godly emotion, but sorrow is a godly emotion because our God knows what it means to grieve, and he's actually given us the ability to grieve. And we're going to look at that this morning. But, you know, grief feels a lot like fear when we're going through it. And it's the best language for grief, believe it or not, is tears. And the cure for grief is complaining, but it's complaining to God. And we don't talk a lot about that. We don't talk about what it means to complain to God. And that's really how we get over our grief. And so, you know, grief is a choice. Not everybody chooses to grieve. When something bad happens, some people say stuff it, they reject it, they say, oh, I'm tough. That's not bothering me. I can bounce back from this. But if we want to get over our grief, we have to choose to grieve. If we don't choose to grieve, we're going to get stuck in our grief. We're going to get stuck in the loss.
Okay.
And how many people do we know like that? People who went through something in life, it was a valley. It was a shock to them. It was a loss to them. And they're still stuck in it. Now, life has moved on, but they're still stuck in their grief. They haven't gotten over it. And that's why it's so important that we choose to grieve, because grief is healthy. It's a healthy thing to do because God has given us the ability to do it. So it's a painful emotion, but it's a helpful emotion. And grief is God's tool to get us through our losses. So when we experience a loss in life, grief has said, you know what, God says, I'm going to give you a tool to get through that loss. And that tool is the ability to grieve.
You know, it's interesting that we're setting it up this way because we have talked many times about Psalm 23 and the language in Psalm 23 being very specific, that it says, we are going through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not sitting down and just staying there.
That's right.
We're going through.
Yeah. And we're gonna talk about that because that's an important part of grief is to walk through it. And when we choose to grieve, we're actually choosing to be like God because God grieves. How many of you, all of us listening on the radio this morning, I know us sitting here, we would say that Jesus was perfect, right?
He was.
Yeah. He didn't do anything. That's one of the tenets of our faith. That he never did anything wrong. But at the same time, he was human. So that means that he felt every human emotion we feel, which means he felt grief. But at the same time, when he felt grief, he always handled it the right way. He never handled his grief in an unhealthy way.
All right, I got a question.
Yeah.
What about the people, and I know people that have done this, that choose not to grieve? And this is for, it could be your father, your mother, your spouse. And there's some people that they, if they do, I don't know, you never see it, but it seems like they just push it down.
Hold it in, yeah.
What do you think? What is that?
I because grief feels like fear, none of us like fear. And
you think they do that because of fear?
I think so. I mean, I know in my own life, my own experience, when I've encountered loss in my life, to deal with it means that I'm having to deal with the unknown. And fear, if I have a loss in life that I didn't see coming, that means that if I deal with it, there's more in life I don't have control over. So let's ignore that. Let's push it down. Let's act like it didn't bother me. But that's an unhealthy way to do it.
Yeah.
We're told of a time in Jesus' life when he experienced grief was when Lazarus died. And in John chapter 11, the people, you know, Jesus was responding to Mary and Martha, who had asked him to come because their brother was sick. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus saw her weeping, talking about Mary and Martha. And he saw how the people who were with her were weeping also. His heart was touched. He was deeply moved. Jesus, he wept. Mm-hmm. And so they even said, the people standing around, see how much he loved Lazarus. And so Jesus, when he began to feel sadness, he wept, he cried, mm-hmm. he dealt with his grief. And in America, sadness is seen as weakness. And that's an mm-hmm. American myth. Mm-hmm. That isn't, sadness is not weakness. Sadness is the ability to be like God.
Mm.
It allows us to experience what he experiences when he grieves the things that are going on in the world. And here's the tricky thing. If you and I, if we don't grieve in healthy ways, what we will do is we will act out in unhealthy ways. And we're seeing this all through society right now. All kinds of things that tragedies that happen in life that create loss, and now we've got to grieve the loss. And people practice their grief in a very unhealthy way. They can turn to substance abuse. They can turn to rage. Mm-hmm. They can turn to acting out on others. We see this happen. It makes headlines all the time. Some poor fellow loses their job at work. It's a tragedy. It's bad a loss decisions. To them.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to deal with it. So they come back to their workplace and mm-hmm. act out in violence. Mm-hmm. That's an unhealthy way to process our grief, and everybody would agree with that. So how can we find a healthy way to process our grief so that we can avoid substance abuse, we can avoid depression, longer bouts of depression where people begin to do unhealthy things? One thing that you and I need to know about grief is that when we're going through it, God grieves with us. We're not alone in our grief. God gets sad, and our ability to grieve actually is what makes us like God. You know, the Bible says that we are made in his image.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's kind of a mystery about that. What does that actually mean, that humans are made in his image? One of the mysteries is that God has given us the ability to grieve. Think of it. Out of all of creation, what creatures grieve? So chickens lay eggs all the time. We go out, we get their eggs and take them away. Does the chicken cry? Does it grieve the loss? If a dog has puppies and we take those puppies and we give them away, mm-hmm. does the dog grieve? Does it get sad? Humans have the ability to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
It separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. And that's what makes us, in one way, like God. Because God grieves, and he's given us the ability to grieve. And so God is saddened all the time by the things, by the evil that's going on in the world. And he grieves that. So we, too, are saddened by the evil in our world, the things that happen to us that hurt us. And God comes along and he gives us the ability to grieve. So there was this guy named Dr. William Frey who did a study on tears. And he wrote a book, and the book was called Crying, the Mystery of Tears. And in his study, he found some things that wouldn't shock us, but then there are some things that really do stand out. For instance, He determined that women cry five times more than men. Nobody would argue that point.
Watch it, doctor.
No, it's good.
It's true.
Yeah. And so he goes on to talk about crying. He made another observation that generally when women cry, they openly weep. But when men cry, typically they just tear up. Mm-hmm. That was an observation. Mm-hmm. But then he began to do some specific studies on tears and come to find out the tears that we cry from emotional stress are of a different composition than tears that come from our eyes, say, when we have an irritation. You know how when you get sand in your eye?
Different composition. Or like pain? Chemically?
Chemically. They are different. So
really?
Yeah. So when we're crying because of an emotional stress in our life, that tear is of a different chemical composition than the tear that comes from our eye when we just have a sand in our eye or
some kind of pain.
Some kind of pain.
You're basically saying, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he goes on to say that he believes that's one reason why women actually live longer than men.
Because we let it out.
They let it out. And this is a quote out of his book. He says, the only physiological mechanism we have to alleviate stress that is different from every other animal is the ability to cry emotional tears. And so when we do that, when we are sad, we are expressing an ability that God himself has and has given to us. And that's why the Bible tells us in Psalms 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted mm-hmm. and saves those who are crushed in spirit mm-hmm. because he's given us the ability to grieve. And that's why he grieves with us. And right now, I know there's people listening right now who are grieving. And what they need to know, what they need to remember is that God is close to them.
We're spending time with Kerry Duckett once again here on our Wednesday morning Bible study. Dr. Kerry Duckett has already led us to discover that grief is healthy, John 11, verses 33 to 36, and God grieves with us, Psalm 34, verse 18. Where to next? Oh,
Hand up in the corner over here.
Yeah.
Before you keep going, I want to ask you about this because we were talking about tears,
yeah,
basically crying and grief. And for a lot of people, tears or crying or emotions, they think is weakness. How, and it makes it tough to deal with. Because even, you know, like you said, women, we cry more. But then, of course, some men looking at, you know, they think, oh, she's being weak. Or or if you hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
And let's say they may not cry in front of you, but they may go home and cry. How does that deal with when you're saying that, you know, different chemistry with different tears and how they come about?
Mm-hmm.
How would you put that together with weakness? Is it weakness? Is it not?
To grieve? No.
To cry?
To cry?
Tears.
No. Absolutely not. It's not weakness. I think that when we look at the way God's created the world, and how he's made humans different from all other creatures on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We have this ability to cry, this ability to grieve and show sadness, to let it out, literally, mm-hmm. to let out what the sadness that is in our heart. And to deny that, to deny ourselves to do that, I think in a way is saying, you know what, I deny being like God.
Mm-hmm.
I deny his image upon me. He placed his image upon me when he created humanity.
Mm.
And to not grieve, to not cry, to say I'm not bothered, I'm not hurt when I am,
mm-hmm.
is actually saying, you know what, I'm just going to deny this stamp of God, of being created in God's image on my own life.
Mm.
And so I think it's just this American myth that in America, this idea that if we're crying, we're weak.
Okay.
We're not weak. It actually makes us more human because humans are the only ones that can do it.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm guilty of looking ahead. And I think this next one is not only really important for probably a lot of people listening today,
mm-hmm.
but really important for the organization that occupies the space where we're sitting right now. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, grief is healed in community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God created Adam in a perfect world. Think about that. It was a perfect world. And there was absolutely nothing to grieve. And God came to him and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. And so now then we live in a world where there's a lot to grieve. Yeah. There's a lot to grieve about. And yet many times we find people saying, I want to be alone in my grief. In a world where there was nothing to grieve, it wasn't good to be alone. Mm. Now we're living in a world where there's a lot to grieve. Mm-hmm. And we certainly don't need to be alone. And our grief is healed in community. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ, Jesus was asked one day, hey, what's the most important commandment? And he said, well, you know what, if we're going to rank them, the most important one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. He said, but the second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So here's the law of Christ. Love God with all your heart. But right after that, learn to love one another.
This verse that you have just spoken here, Galatians 6:2, mm-hmm. is the key verse for the organization that occupies the space we are in right now. Christian Healthcare Ministries, key verse, mm-hmm. is Galatians 6:2.
Yeah.
Not only as those who are a part of this cost-sharing ministry come alongside each other, 400,000 all over the country, but the people who work here come alongside those who are members mm-hmm. in some of their very worst times.
Yeah.
And you can walk by, you know, walk down the hall here during the day, and you can see staff members of Christian Healthcare Ministries shedding tears mm-hmm. with those they're on the phone with yeah. around the country.
Yeah.
And so this verse, this idea that grief is healed in community, man, that's what this
yeah.
organization is all about, Christian Healthcare Ministries.
Right. So literally what the you know, this verse is talking about to fulfill the law of Christ is that when I'm in pain, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to let others come and join me in my pain. And when I see others in pain, I'm supposed to go to them mm-hmm. and join them in their pain. Mm. And so this is how we get over our grief in carrying each other's burdens and helping one another. Several years ago, when Cherry and I were young, my wife, she got pregnant. She had a miscarriage. Cherry had a miscarriage. And so I had to take her to the hospital for the procedure that they do when that has happened. And at the time, I was pastoring a church, and I had told our entire church what had just happened. So that morning when I took her to the hospital, I was sitting there in the waiting room waiting for her. And one person from my church showed up and sat with me. His name was Andy. And he just came in and he sat beside me. He didn't say anything. He just stayed with me while this was going on. Mm-hmm. And as that was happening, I was so touched, you know, and he didn't even say anything. We didn't even talk, but he was just with me. And that meant so much. Well, after that was over with, you know, a couple of days later, as I was thinking about Andy being there. Also, what I began to think, what this began to creep into my mind is that, you know, I told my whole church and only one guy showed up. Mm-hmm. And so then I began to think, well, doggone, you know, I told everybody and only one person showed up, mm-hmm. you know, and then I began to lose the blessing of his presence.
Yes.
Because I began to think about who wasn't
there.
And so here's the thing. When we're going through grief, never judge who doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Because you don't know why they didn't show
right.
up.
Right. Mm.
But and if we do judge who doesn't show up, we lose the blessing of who did show up. Mm. And so it's so important to remember when we're grieving that we show up for one another. You know, I think it's pretty interesting right now, even what's going on in Akron and the display of grief that is happening in our city over Jalen Walker and the response of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud, I cheer those out there who are willing to come together and let's say, let's grieve together. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how this is how communities can move forward when they're grieving something that has happened. And so the Bible says, be joyful with those who are joyful, be sad with those who are sad. That's in Romans chapter 12. And I get it. It's uncomfortable. It's easy to be joyful with people who are having mm-hmm. a party. It's not easy to be sad with those who are sad. But yet the Bible tells us we are to show up and validate and say, you know what? I'm going to be uncomfortable with you, and I'm going to be sad because this is worthy of being sad over. And sometimes we don't know what to say. And you know what I've discovered through the years? It's best to say nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That day that Andy showed up, he said nothing, mm-hmm. but it meant much. And I think, that's what we need to remember when people are grieving. We show up, we be comfortable with them, and we be sad with them. And what gets us into trouble sometimes is we begin to compare our sadness with their sadness. And
yes,
and just because we have a shared experience doesn't mean we have shared emotions.
Right.
And so sometimes saying less is actually the best thing to do when people are grieving.
Dr. Carey, I had a very similar situation. I think I've told you about it before, Mark, when my dad passed away and my friend here, well, Geneva Wilson, we hear her on the radio, and Geneva's very quiet. She doesn't say much of anything, does she? Does she, Mark?
No.
Probably heard her speak maybe once. She'll sing, but she doesn't talk much.
She'll say hello and she'll say everything's going good.
Yeah.
But then
that's
okay.
About it.
Okay, bye.
She's never talked a whole lot.
Right.
But she called me one day, and it was maybe a few weeks later or something, and she said, you know, I'm going to come over and bring you and the kids something. So she came, I was still I grieved for years. This was maybe weeks after she came over. She brought us pizza and chicken wings, and the kids loved it, of course. They ate and took off, and we just sat there. We didn't have anything to talk about. She didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She mm-hmm. she didn't come with anything to say. She came with some gifts, and we just sat around for a few hours.
Yeah.
And it meant, I'll never forget it. It meant the world to me.
Yeah.
We didn't have to talk about it.
Our friend who is with us a lot here on Mornings with Mark and Gabe, Pastor Tom Repke mm-hmm. from Linden Road Presbyterian, calls it the gift of presence.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
Yeah.
The gift of presence.
Yeah, showing up.
Be there.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you are there, put an arm around the shoulder, a hand on the back, a hug, presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The greater the pain, the fewer the words needed.
Mm.
You know, if someone has a fender bender, talk about it all you want. You know,
yeah.
go crazy.
Yeah.
But when someone is experiencing real loss in their life, fewer words, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how our grief begins to heal by as we show up for one another.
My name's Mark.
My name's Gabe.
And Dr. Carey Duckett is back with us. We are always glad to have him mm-hmm. with us in the studio. First time, long time from Grace Bible Church in New Franklin or Akron, whichever you prefer. Carey, it's great to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Especially with this topic this morning. I think you are touching some hearts this morning, and maybe this is something that people didn't expect to hear this morning. Maybe didn't want to hear this morning, but maybe needed to hear this morning. We're talking about the truth about grief.
Grief, you know, and all these things we've been talking about. I think the one thing that is overlooked the most inside church many times is that grief is meant to be an act of worship. And we don't approach it that way.
Okay.
In America, our idea of worship is, uplifting songs, times of... when there's just stories and songs that put chills on our neck and make the hair stand mm-hmm. up, you know, there's a quiver in our liver and that's where we're saying, oh, this is worship. But, there's a place for that. Absolutely. There's a place for that. But, in the Bible, worship typically is described as a sacrifice. Mm. And a sacrifice is a loss, not a gain. Mm. And many times in worship, we've turned worship into being about our gains, the things we've gained in life.
Yeah.
But in reality, worship many times centers around a sacrifice.
Is that a pretty loss. American thing about the gains? I mean,
Yeah. We're pretty soft, and we're pretty privileged here in the American society, and so the idea of sacrifice, and sacrifice and pain and loss being an act of worship, I think escapes us. But sometimes the very best worship comes from a broken heart, not a happy heart. Psalms 57, David wrote, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise." So, you know, there's two things that cause grief. The sins that we do, you know, when I commit a sin and I hurt myself, I hurt other people, that creates pain, that creates grief. But then there are the sins that people do against us, and that creates pain and grief in our life and loss in our life. And God says, you know what, if you're experiencing pain and loss, bring it to him, and he will not despise that. He will not despise a broken and contrite heart. And when we grieve our sin and we grieve the effects of sin, you know, it's an act of worship. And in our world, listen, when we go through pain and loss in the world, it's either my sin, someone else's sin, or the fact that we just live in a broken world and bad things happen.
True.
Yeah.
And it breaks our heart. And if we take that to the Lord, that is an act of worship. And he never rejects that. He never rejects that broken, contrite spirit. That means humbled.
Okay.
That means bowed down, crushed. That my heart is broken. My spirit is crushed and humbled in this moment. Lord, I'm coming to you with my loss. That is an act of worship. Hmm. And it's meant to be a journey.
Pastor Carey.
Yeah.
Okay. This has me going in all kinds of directions here because I have not heard of grief as a form of worship. I completely understand now. I
haven't thought about it that way.
But
yeah,
I've never
either.
Thought of this before. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about sacrifice being a loss. And what it made me think of, my dad used to say, you know, you don't go to church for what you can get out of it. You go to church to worship. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people, you know, some people, they want to go to church to get a feeling. Now, I'm not sure if I'm in the right area, but some people want to go to church to get
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
They want, and if they don't have this certain feeling, they may feel like they need to go get another church or they're wanting to go do that. And so when you're talking about this form of grief, this grief being a form of worship and the sacrifice, Are you know where I'm going with this? Where the sacrifice is basically being the loss, and basically you're not going. You need to be going to church as to worship, kind of as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Instead of going to get what the preacher has to give to you, basically.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the idea is that many times, again, unfortunately, you know, in
this is
American
just so
church,
I've not heard this, so that's where I'm like, I want to dig into that.
In American church, the idea is I'm going to church to feel good.
There you go, okay? American church. That's
so when the truth is that so much is happening in life that makes us feel bad, that and we're denying that. We're saying, oh, I just want to go feel good. I want something to make me feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that in the sense that we want to be encouraged, we want to be inspired, and those kinds of things. But the reality is, when our hearts are crushed with the painful things that have happened, the very best worship we can give is to show up and say, God, I am extremely disappointed. I'm extremely hurt by what's happening in my life. And guess what, God? I'm coming to you with it.
And that's a form of worship.
Absolutely. That's a form of worship. And because I turn to him and I'm crying to him, I'm pouring my heart out to him in my loss, and that becomes worship. Mm. And God says, I'll never despise that. Mm-hmm. I'll never turn that heart away. Now think about the times when we're denying our pain and we're denying our grief, and we show up to worship and we just act like everything's okay when it's not okay. And we act all excited when we don't want to be excited. And we're expecting others to give us things that only God can give us because we won't deal with our grief. And that's actually the worship that God would despise.
Oh, wow. So not dealing with our grief just leads to
all sorts of all sorts.
Wow.
It leads to a lot more brokenness. And I get it. The reason we don't want to do it is because it's fearful. Mm-hmm. If I deal with my grief, I might become undone. Well, who wants to be undone in front of people?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody.
Especially when they think you're weak.
Yeah. And so that worship gets all tainted because of our fear of what would happen if we just admit our grief. And grief, you know, it's meant to be a journey, not a destination. And you know, Mark quoted this verse at the beginning out of Psalms 23:4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, here's what's interesting. When David wrote this, he was going through a tremendous time of loss in his life. This is when Absalom had turned against him.
Right.
Absalom had turned against him.
Trying to kill him.
Yeah. So can you imagine the grief in his heart that his son is trying to kill him? Absalom. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And as Mark pointed out, we have to walk through it. We can't walk around it. We can't avoid it. We can't run through it. We can't get stuck in it. We just have to walk through our grief. And the challenge with it is that, and David says it, I will not be afraid. You see, grief feels like fear. Mm. And so he says, I will not be afraid. And the reason it feels like fear is because we are in a shadow. Shadows are created because there's a great light behind something. That's where a shadow comes from. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Anyone who's walked through a shadow has never been hurt. Mm-hmm. Shadow has never hurt anyone. Yeah. No one goes to the ER and says, man, I walked through a shadow and broke my arm. You know, the shadow beat me up. The shadows never hurt us, but it does make us feel afraid. Mm-hmm. And that's what David says. I will not be afraid. I will walk through this. And I know that God is with me. And that is, when we confront that is worship. God, I am afraid. God, I do hate this. God, I am confused, but I'm here with you. I'm coming to you with it, and I will walk through this. Mm. That becomes an act of worship.
So the idea then is we've got to walk through. We've got to take Psalm 23, verse 4, and we've just got to start walking. So as we kind of end our time today, let's get practical and let's walk through.
Yeah.
How do we walk through?
Yeah. So if you're going to walk through grief, the first thing that we have to do, especially for those of us that have been denying our grief or rejecting our grief, is that we have to identify it. We have to identify what has been lost and then receive comfort. Mm. You know, what has become recently a good verse for me in my own life is Matthew 5:4. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the opposite of that is if I refuse to mourn, I will not be comforted.
Mm. All right.
That's right.
And so when I'm going through a loss, when I'm experiencing pain because of the evil in our world, I need to mourn it. And here's the thing. If I do, I will be comforted. So I have to identify those losses and admit them and start talking about them to the Lord, laying that out before him. So we have to list what's been lost and let grief begin, knowing that God will comfort us.
For some people, that's going to be a lot of things.
It sure is. Yeah.
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 If you've been stuffing it down for a while, absolutely, because people can hang on to a lot of hurts.
A lifetime.
A lot of hurts.
Yeah.
And so you just have to list it and say, you know what? I lost something here. God, it hurt. It still hurts. I'm confused about it. I'm angry about it. I don't know why it happened. God, I don't know why you let this happen. Listen, God can handle all of that. Mm-hmm. He can handle all mm-hmm. of our emotions, and but we have to let them out. And if we begin to mourn, he begins to comfort. That's the way it works. And so we have to learn to lament.
Okay, this is an interesting word, and it's a very Old Testament word.
It is. Yeah. It is. I actually had someone ask me a couple of weeks ago, what is that word, lament? Is that like something you put in your mouth? Are you talking about something like my breath smell good?
Yeah.
No, because it's not a word that we use very much. Mm-hmm. And it's what's amazing about the word lament is that it's a very biblical action. It's all through the scriptures. But the word lament, it means an act of worship that is an emotional expression of grief to God that includes complaining to God.
Okay. You have mentioned this a couple of times in our study today, and it may strike people's ears a little funny, complaining to God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a difference. Think of it this way. Complaining to God is an act of worship. Complaining about God is an act of rebellion.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
So there's a difference between those two things. And here's what happens. Many times, if we complain to one another, it turns into gossip. So two of those three forms of complaining are definitely wrong. But one is an act of worship. And that is to complain to God about what's going on. And God can handle it. And we find this all through the Bible, all through the scriptures. So Psalms is the longest book in the Bible,
right.
150 chapters. 65 of the Psalms are laments. In other words, the people that wrote those were complaining to God. They were saying, God, this doesn't seem right. God, I don't know where you are. God, you have placed me in deepest darkness. Will you ever let me out? God, I am so upset with my enemies. Would you make sure their children never prosper?
Right. The phrase, why do the wicked prosper?
Yeah.
That's a familiar phrase. It's in the lament psalm, and it happens multiple times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we read these lamenting psalms, especially the things like where David would say, Lord, I'm so confused by what you've allowed my enemies to do to me. Would you punish their children? Well, we think of that and say, well, that's awful. It's awful if you say it to someone. It's not awful if you're saying it to God.
Oh, my.
It's not awful.
Listen, Pastor Carey, we had a question. We have Monday morning questions, you know, on Facebook. And we had a question that I had asked Mark one time. I said, Mark, if you had to go to an island, you know, and all you could take was one book of the Bible, which one would you take? And which one did you say, Mark? Did you say Luke?
I think I said Luke. Yeah.
I think I said Psalms for that exact reason.
Mm.
I'm going to be complaining. If I'm on that island alone, I'm taking the book of Psalms because I'm going to be this lament.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Why did you let this happen to
me? Right.
And listen, there's absolutely nothing wrong with going to God and saying, why did you let this happen to me? I mean, if you read the book of Job, that's a lot of what he's saying. Why did you let this happen? He's complaining to God, not about God.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
There's a difference. If you read the book of Lamentations, okay, it's an entire book of the Bible that is a lament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeremiah is simply saying, God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why you let this happen. But complaining to God is exactly what God would want us to do when something is happening to us that has hurt us, to run to him and say, I don't understand, but I'm coming to you, God. I'm not running away from you. I'm not running to my CBD outlet. I'm not running to the drugstore or the alcohol place, or I'm not running to my Netflix binge to just so that I can get over my grief. I'm not running to anything except you, Lord, because I'm hurt. That is worship. And we don't talk about it a lot in American church.
The saddest thing, what I am lamenting right now, I just looked at the clock and saw what time it is.
I know.
I don't want to stop.
This happens.
This does happen.
I got a question real quick, though. I know we got to stop.
I know.
But Pastor, if I lament, and this is the thing, as far as complaining to God, which I don't typically do, but do I have to be ready in my heart and prepared that I am probably not going to get an answer?
There's or at least not the one you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes when pain happens in our life, we can blame God. That doesn't work out too well. Mm-hmm. We can blame ourselves. That doesn't work out too well either, you know, because I know sometimes I will say, if I'd have been a better Christian, if I'd have had more faith, if I'd have had more doubt, this wouldn't be happening. The truth of the matter is a lot of the things that we lament, there's just a lot of mystery around them.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
We just have to accept that God allows things into our life. You know, as we're going through this series at Grace Bible Church, one of the messages that's going to be coming up is the purpose of pain and how God allows pain into our life. But if we let it, pain can be very purposeful. Pain can make us better people. Pain can make us more like Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus was perfected through his suffering. Through his suffering. And so if God allowed Jesus to go through so much pain, why would we think he's going to say, okay, you don't have to,
right?
You don't have to go through any pain. He's in the business of trying to make us like Christ, and to be like Christ, we must enter into the sufferings of Christ, and the sufferings of Christ are going to hurt. They're going to be filled with pain. And if anyone was ever mistreated, it was Jesus. I mean, even he said from the cross, my God, why? Why?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lament.
Dr. Carrie Duckett has spent this hour with us, the truth about grief. Carrie, could you pray us into this Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word and discover that when we're hurting, you have given us a way to be healed. It's coming to you. And letting our hurts be known to you first, complaining to you, telling you how we feel about what's going on. But at the same time, you bring people into our lives who can bring us comfort because, Lord, you're using them. And so, Lord, I pray for the listeners right now, Lord, who are hurting this morning, who have grief. Lord, I pray that the fear of it would not keep them from coming to you, and that they would allow these other people that you've placed in their life to come along beside them, Lord, to bring healing. Lord, I pray for our city. I pray for Akron. Lord, there's grief. There's pain. And Lord, right now people are expressing it in all kinds of ways. Some of them are healthy, good, godly ways. Some are unhealthy, unproductive, harmful ways. Lord, help us to be able to discern the difference. And Lord, turn to you with our hurt and with our pain. Thank you for loving us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If people want to come and join you and pay a visit to Grace Bible Church, tell them where and tell them how.
Yeah, so we are located in New Franklin on Highway 93. 5781 Manchester Road is the physical location, but if you want to check us out online, you go to gbcakron.org, and you can get all the information there.
And all's well at the International Welcome Center.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the International Welcome Center is also located right there at the same place. The International Welcome Center is theiwc.org, and that's just a special, unique ministry we have at Grace Bible Church for the refugees that live here in Akron.
How many different countries, maybe, would you say are represented right now at the International Welcome Center?
At the International Welcome Center, I'm going to say right now there's probably six or seven different countries.
Very good.
We had our first person from Cameroon this week.
Okay.
That we were able to meet and begin to help them get established here in our lovely city of Akron. And it's a real joy to work with these people who are coming from all over the world, who have experienced great loss and great pain.
Yes.
We can learn from them how to grieve. I can tell you that right now. We can learn from them how to grieve because they've definitely been through some valleys.
Thank you for the time you've given us this morning.
Oh, thank you for letting me be here.
We
really
certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr.
Carrie Duckett, joining us once again from Grace Bible Church in New Franklin, right there on the border with Akron.